Anyway, in middle school, where I went, there was a program called GATE. And GATE stood for Gifted and Talented Education. And I think, unfortunately, the implication of this program, because it was named Gifted and Talented Education, was that there was a select group of people who were gifted and talented, and there was another group who weren't, the majority of folk. Now, really, what they meant, or what they maybe should have said, was, we have certain special classes, and these people's gifts fit the classes that we have. But the result was, it seemed that there were two groups. There were the gifted, and there were not the not gifted. I think churches can very subtly and unintentionally do this as well. We have our own structures and programs, and we can just kind of look for people who fit them to fill those places. And when churches operate this way, two things happen. The first is people get left out. They don't have gifts that fit our programs and our structures, and so there's no way for them to serve, and so they're left out. Or people get burned out. People with lots of gifts serve in different places that we've put them in outside of their gifting. And if you do that for long enough, you get burned out, because we were meant to use our gifts. As a church, as we think about our vision and looking forward and what kind of church we want to be, I think it's really important for us to pay close attention to the gifts that God has put into this community, that God has given to all of the people here. Because all of God's people have been gifted for a purpose. Every one of God's people has been gifted for a purpose. Now that statement includes two facts, and we're going to look at those two facts. And then those facts raise two questions that we're going to ask. And then we're going to ask, what kind of church, what does it look like for a church to take God's gifting seriously? So the facts. The first fact is this. Every single person has God-given gifts. Every single person has God-given gifts. And if we look at Exodus 31, I was just really blown away. I've read this passage many times before, but this week it really came alive to me in some ways. Listen to what God says as he speaks to Moses. See, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, and I have filled him with divine spirit. And what is this divine spirit? Is it preaching or prophecy or any of these great spiritual things? No. He says, I've given him, filled him with divine spirit with ability, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of craft, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, and cutting stones for setting, and so on. And he's appointed a Holiab, and they're doing these craft projects. They're sewing garments for the priests. And these are the people that God has said, I have called them by name, and I've filled them with my spirit. I have given them gifts. Every single person has God-given gifts. Now, I think many people don't believe that they have gifts. Maybe you're just unaware that the things that you do every day and have are gifts. Or maybe you've never tried something that you're gifted in. How do I know if I have the gift of playing the piano unless I've ever played the piano? Or maybe you have been told in some way, whether explicitly or implicitly, that you don't have gifts. Maybe you had a GATE program at your school and you weren't part of it. I don't know. Every single person has God-given gifts. That is the first fact. And the second fact is that every gift we have has a God-given purpose. If we continue reading in verse 6, he says, I've appointed a Holiab, and I have given skill to all the skillful so that they may make all that I have commanded you. So God has given these people gifts for a very specific purpose as the people have been delivered from slavery in Egypt. And as they're starting to walk through the desert and then eventually enter the promised land, God is going to go with them. And so these people have been given gifts so that they can design and create this place, a place worthy of God as God travels with his people. Every one of our gifts that we have, we have been given for a purpose. Now, the other mistake we make besides not thinking that we have gifts is not understanding that our gifts have a purpose in God's kingdom. many of us are used to thinking about our gifts and how they fit our own purposes. We leverage the skills and gifts we have to figure out how can we make money off of these gifts, or how can we get famous because of what we can do, or how can we gain other people's respect because of how intelligent we are, or how good we are at certain things. But we have been given gifts for a purpose, and we see that again in 1 Corinthians 12 that was read earlier. In verse 7, Paul writes, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." For the common good. In verse 27, then, he talks about us being, he says, "You are the body of Christ and individually members of it." You don't have your gifts for yourself. You have your gifts for the whole body, for this whole thing that God is doing in the world through his people. And then in chapter 13, we have the love chapter. So, love is patient, love is kind, and of these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And, we read it at weddings, and it's a great wedding passage, but the context of it is in this whole section where Paul is talking about the gifts of the people of God. And he's saying, why do you have these gifts? So that you can use them in love for others. So which of these facts is more radical for you? Which is harder to believe? That you have gifts? I know a lot of people struggle to really believe that they have gifts. Or that your gifts have a God-given purpose. They're not just for you. They're for the world, ultimately, as God works there. No matter how hard they are for you to believe, they are facts because they are from the Bible, so they're. And these two facts then, so we can all accept that. These two facts then raise two questions. The first fact, every single person has God-given gifts, raises the question, what are your gifts? What gifts has God given you? And I would suggest, to help you think about answering that question, that all of us have gifts in each of, not one of, but each of four categories. Each of us has some sort of physical resources. Even if you don't think you're rich or wealthy, you have something. You have food that you eat. Maybe you have a home or an apartment or a car or clothing or what have you. We all have some sort of physical gift, resource. Second category is skills and talents. All of us have skills and talents. Like we saw with Oholiab and Bezalel, they had skills and talents that God had given them. Maybe you are a craftsman, or maybe you have teaching skills. Maybe you have financial accounting type of skills. All of these skills and talents might be gifts that you bring to the table. All of us have gifts in our experiences. Whether they have been joyful or painful experiences, these are gifts that we've been given, and they might be used for a purpose. And then finally, each of us has spiritual gifts. And these are the ones we might be least aware of, most likely because we haven't actually tried them yet. But in the New Testament, I kind of did a brief scan, and here are some of the spiritual gifts that are talked about. Prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, generosity, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, discernment, tongues, interpretation, and evangelism. These are all gifts, spiritual gifts, that God has endowed his church with. And you have one of those at least, probably more. What are your gifts? What are you good at? What are you interested in? What are your gifts? And to acknowledge that you have a gift, some people don't want to do that because they think they're being humble by not acknowledging their gifts. And that's just not true, because a gift doesn't lead to pride. You don't take credit for a gift, do you? If someone gives you a gift, you don't say, hey, look at me, look at the gift I've received. To acknowledge that you've received a gift should lead to gratitude, to giving thanks to the one who gave it to you. All of you have something in mind, some kind of gift that you have in mind as we've been talking? Yeah? No? No gifts. You can't think of any gifts that you have, physical resources or skills and talents or experiences or spiritual gifts. If you do, we're just going to take a moment to give thanks for those, okay? And one of the songs we sing on a weekly basis begins like this: praise God from whom all blessings flow. In other words, praise the giver of every gift. And so I want you to all stand for a second, and we're going to sing this together, giving thanks to God for the gifts that we've been given. Kevin will lead us. As I was practicing my sermon this week, I sang that out loud, and I was like, wow, I have this really great vibrato working today. And I realized, no, I'm just it's freezing cold in the sanctuary, and I was just shivering. But anyway, hopefully we can acknowledge the gifts we've been given and embrace our giftedness and give thanks for those gifts that we have. So that's the first question. And then the second fact was, every gift we have has a God-given purpose. And so that begs the question, how is God calling you to use your gifts? What is the God-given purpose for your gifts? Beyond just how does it benefit you? Because maybe you have skills and talents and gifts, and you work and you get a paycheck, and that might be one purpose for your gifts. But your gifts have purpose beyond that. What is it? How is God calling you to use your gifts? And I'm going to go right back right now to our vision statement, which is living the gospel life together. Right? And then there are three parts. Glorifying God, as we glorify God in whole life worship. You might be able to use your gifts to glorify God in worship. That's what Bezalel and Aholiab were doing. They were creating a place where the people of God could worship their God and see the beauty of the craftsmanship and the garments and all of this, and realize that their God was even more beautiful and glorious than that. So maybe you have gifts that can help the people of God to give glory to God and to worship. To grow as disciples by word and spirit. Some of you have gifts that can help to grow disciples in the body of Christ. Maybe teaching gifts or gifts of encouragement or generosity, any of these things. To glow with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. Many of you have gifts that can bring blessing to people outside the church. Gifts that can help bless the world and bring God's blessing to bear on people's lives all around you. What is the purpose of your gifts? How can your gifts bring glory to God and grow disciples and glow with Christ's love in your neighborhoods? So what does a church look like that takes these facts seriously, that's asking these questions? And I think that the church is here to help you to cultivate your gifts and to help guide you in how to use them for the kingdom of God. Now, too often, I think churches kind of go in an unhelpful direction with this. I think too often churches get centralized in how they approach gifts. Like the GATE program, and they said, you are only gifted and talented if you fit our gifts. And sometimes churches try and kind of suck in all of the gifts of the people into the church building, and how can you use them here? Kind of like that. But here's what I think. The vision of the church that I have is not where we're asking, how can you use your gifts for our programs and our system, but how can we help you use your gifts for the world? So we don't want to have you come into the church and say, okay, whatever your gifts are, here's what we have. We've got a choir, we've got these boards, we've got these missions that we do, and hopefully your gifts fit there. We want to be equipping you and sending you out to use your gifts for the world. And yes, many of you have gifts that can serve the church. But ultimately, anyone who comes into these doors has gifts that can serve the world as well and can make an impact for Jesus in the entire world. I was talking to a pastor friend this week from Denver, and they have a really cool ministry at this church of his. And I wanted to share with you the story of this ministry to kind of give you the idea of what I'm talking about not just trying to suck in everyone's gifts into the church building, but using them and coming alongside people as they use their gifts. And in his church, there were two people that came up with this idea to create this Purple Door Coffee House. All right. Now, this wasn't something that the leadership decided. It was just two people who had these gifts and a dream to do it. And the purpose of Purple Door Coffee House is it exists to give job opportunities to homeless youth and young adults who are working to exit homelessness. Now, the purpose of their gifts, they didn't say, we want to make a coffee house so we can make lots of money. They said, okay, we have these gifts, we have this dream, so that we can bless homeless youth and young adults who are working to exit homelessness. And they said, we want to employ people who don't have a home. And when you don't have a home and a home address, it's hard to get a job. And people who are unemployable in some ways for other reasons, like they have something on their record that they have to report when they apply for a job. They said, we want to employ these people in our coffee house and help them get back on their feet and get experience so that they can move on and serve the world. And when these people came up with the idea, what they did was they said, okay, they went to the church and said, who else might have gifts here? Who can help us? And how can the and they came to the pastor and said, here's our idea. And the pastor said, how can we come alongside of you? And they didn't form a committee or anything for the church. They just said, okay, we're going to support you in these ways. We're going to come alongside you, and you can use that gift. And now they support them financially. But at first, they just said, how can we help you do this? Okay, so they didn't say, here's what we already have, fit in here. They said, let's come alongside as you use your gifts for the world. You see the difference there? Kind of decentralizing the gifting of God's people so that we can disperse them all into the world. And we have things like that, like mustard seed would be, I think, a pretty good example of that. That was an idea formed within the church and then became a ministry, a way of serving the community. That's kind of the idea here. Getting the gifts of God's people out into the world to bring blessing to the world in your neighborhoods. So all of this, I think, gives a little more, another layer to the question that we've been asking. I asked a couple weeks ago, if I can find my prop here. Here it is. Okay. Deep pockets, I guess. Are you all in? Now, we asked this question a couple weeks ago. Are you all in? And this, today, the question, are you all in, means this. Are you willing to embrace the gifts that God has given you? So I want you to just kind of hold up your hands, and in your hands, I want you to hold the gifts that you have. Know what they are. What are the physical resources that God has given you? What are the skills and talents that you have? What are the experiences of your life? What are the spiritual gifts that God might have given you? Are you willing to then open your hands and offer these gifts to the world and say, God, how do you want me to use these gifts? How can these gifts that you have given me be a blessing to others? How can you help me to be generous with the gifts you've given me? That's the question. You don't have to keep holding your hands up. You can put those down. But this is why I think the early church, it says in that Acts 2 passage that we've been reading over and over and over again throughout the fall, it says they had all things in common. They held all things in common because that they believed that God would take their gifts, and as the body of Christ, he would use them to bless the world. So they didn't want to hold them for themselves. They wanted to open up their hands and say, how is God using these for the world? And they wanted to be a part of that. So that's why we encourage you to give. That's why we encourage you to use your gifts. That's why we encourage you, and this is the money part of the sermon. This is why we encourage you on Stewardship Sunday to give financially as well. My goal for this church is not just that we would be able to pay my salary and pay our bills. My goal is that we would be pooling our resources, all of our gifts, in a way that just allows them to overflow into the world so that we can bring God's blessing to people on an increasing level, more and more and more, as we start to see God use our gifts, and we want to give more and more, and we bring more and more blessing to the world. That's the goal. That's the vision of the church. Now, to be open-handed with our gifts, to give freely, to give generously, to give cheerfully, I think is a hard thing. I know it's a hard thing. Because we are used to grasping onto our gifts. We're afraid we don't have enough. And so we hold on to everything we can and leverage them so that we can be safe and secure. We open our hands as Christians because we want to be like Christ. Jesus was perhaps, not perhaps, most certainly, the most gifted human being who ever walked this earth. Jesus had the fullness of God's wisdom, and how did he use it? He used it to teach others about who God was and how God loved them and how they could live in God's kingdom. Jesus had the fullness of God's power, and how did he use it? He used it to heal people. Jesus had the fullness of God's authority, and he used it to serve. And Jesus had the fullness of the body that God had given him to walk this earth with, and he gave it on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Jesus took every single gift he had and poured it out for the sake of others, for the sake of blessing the world with God's blessings. And now God has distributed all of those gifts that Jesus had as he walked the earth. God has distributed those in the body of Christ, in the church. We possess all of the gifts that Jesus had. And we also possess the calling to use those gifts to teach and to heal and to serve and to bless. So if you want to be part of what God is doing in the world, you must embrace your giftedness and open your hands so that God can use those gifts to bless the world. That's what stewardship is. It's imitating Christ, gratefully receiving our gifts and then using them to bring hope and healing and good news to the world in his name. Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, you have been generous with us in Christ. You have poured yourself out so that we might be blessed and know you and follow you. Lord, help us to know what our gifts are. And if we struggle with that question, Lord, don't let us stop asking it. Help us to have open eyes to see the gifts you have given us. And open our eyes to the opportunities you are giving us to use those gifts for your kingdom and for the world. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.